Bob Perot with you, and very pleased to be joined today by from Family and Children's Services of Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville, Executive Director Erin Lee Marcotte. Hello, Erin.
Hello there.
Erin Lee, my apologies.
Yes, that's okay.
And then, not to confuse me too much, we've got the recruitment and assessment worker with Family and Children's Services of Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville, Karen Lee Martineau. Hello, Karen Lee.
Hello, nice to be here.
It's so nice to have you both here. And we're talking about such an incredible thing, really. It's one of the most incredible gifts that people can give, and that is to become a foster for children who are in need. Erin Lee, first, maybe just sort of tell us a little bit about the foster system and what is really what the state of it is right now within your organization.
Sure. Well, so we're an organization that serves the entire Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville population. We amalgamated in 2011, so that's important to know. And you, of course, would probably know that those tri-counties has a population of about just over 180,000 people. So we are the local child welfare agency, one of 50 children's aid societies, also known as children's aid societies across the province. And the first thing we want to say, of course, is the bulk of the work that we do with families who need support or who someone is worried about really happens in the family homes. Okay. So the bulk of our work is on the front end. So someone in the community may call us and they may have a report about maltreatment or a concern about a child. And we are doing everything we can to go out, do a fulsome assessment, and if in fact there are concerns, to really work from a least intrusive lens. We really want to prevent admissions to care. We want to really lean on the family networks and the community supports that are available. We have wonderful community partners across, many sectors, including the social services sector and education, and you name it. But we really that is number one. And I think the community needs to know that. About 96% of the children we come into contact with, are not coming into care. But the reality is that sometimes families need some help, and to such a degree that children just aren't safe in their family homes for a period of time. And our first go-to when that happens, of course, is to look to kin. It's to look to their own networks to say, is there a grandparent? Is there an auntie? Is there someone else there that can care? But when we've exhausted those options, then we're looking at bringing children into our care. And that's where our foster system comes into play. And we have been, unfortunately, and this is not unique to Family and Children's Services of Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville, but we have been on a steady decline of two things. One, the number of children we admit to care. That's a good thing. We are doing a better job at preventing those admissions and working with families and working with community. However, we still have a need. We still have about 59 children in care, in foster care today. And we only actually have about 40 providers or foster homes. So the and 2 years ago, we had about 60. So we've seen about a 37%, give or take, decrease in the number of foster homes available to us in our own system. But we've only seen about a 22% decrease in children in care. So you can see they're sort of not pacing at the same rate. So there is still a need. There is still a need for foster care recruitment. There's still a need to temporarily provide a safe haven, a soft landing, as Karen Lee would say, for these kids, while their parents are getting the supports they need, while the network is working together to figure out what is a reunification plan going to look like. Sometimes that can be shorter term, a few months. Sometimes that is longer term. But whatever it is, we are really, really an agency that has always prided ourselves on family-based care. So I say that meaning as opposed to group home settings, for example, or institutional settings. We believe that children deserve, every child deserves an upbringing that is relatively normative, right? And where they can have that sense of belonging, even if they are away from their own parents. They can still have a family-based, loving setting where they have that sense of belonging and real feeling of safety and security. Group care, is sometimes necessary. I'm not knocking it. We have unfortunately had an increase in the amount of OPRs, sorry, outside paid resources that we've had to purchase. And it's certainly, I'm not knocking it, but again, it's not the place where we want our children to grow up. It's an institutional setting, it's staffed, whereas our foster families, you know what? They're families. They're people like you, me, and your neighbors. And so, that is what we want. That is what we've always been committed to. And we are seeing, a need, and that's why, we're really happy to be here to talk about that. And Karen Lee would be much better place to sort of talk about the specific, needs and process and all of that, all of those pieces. But that gives
And
you the lay of the land, I think,
okay,
I hope.
yeah, absolutely, yeah, for sure. So let's get into it a little bit here, Karen Lee. You look at the world today, I guess, really, the way that things have gone for the past like 5 years, and there are economic pressures, there are social pressures, all of these things that have played into really the way people are dealing with everything from finding housing for themselves to purchasing food. I imagine that these are some of the factors that may be contributing to the fact that there are fewer people who can actually afford to open their homes to the foster system. Is that accurate?
So, I mean, yes and no. So, some of the things that are not well known is that the foster families are not doing this completely out of pocket, right? We offer a pretty generous per diem package. We want the children that live in your home to be dressed in good clothing. We want to make sure that the foster families have the financial support that they would need to make sure they can add to their families. We offer a comprehensive training package as well. So, we're in it together. We're in it together with our foster families. There's a mileage reimbursements as well. So there's a lot of it's a pretty good compensation package to ensure that you get the support that you need. If you're interested in fostering, give us a call and we would definitely be able to offer that kind of support and information to people interested.
So what types of people are you looking for? Like, I mean, that's a pretty broad statement. Perhaps really the question is, what are some of the qualities and qualifications successful applicants should hold?
So a family that is established would be a good thing. Someone like yourself, Bob, who's interested in helping children, somebody who has the time to support a child coming into their family. Any type of loving family. It could be a single parent family. It could be a couple that are working families. It's gone those days when we were looking for a stay-at-home foster mom. Most couples or single parents are working outside of the home, and we as an agency recognize the changes over the last 10 or 15 years. So our interest is really who in the community can help our kids, who in the community would have time available to add to their family and work with our agency as a unit that works cooperatively together. That's what we're looking for.
Would you like to add something, Erin Lee?
Yeah, I completely agree with Karen Lee. And I would say because we offer such a robust training, I mean, first of all, an assessment and evaluation process, and then if approved, a very robust training and ongoing training as well, that at the end of the day, we're not necessarily looking for an expert. It really comes down to values, right? So we want families who, as Karen Lee said, are loving and have the time and have the values where they're empathetic people. They will have the ability to empathize with a child's history, right? Potentially trauma. Every child is unique, and there's a real spectrum in terms of the needs that children bring into the foster into care. And they bring such amazing strengths. And of course, they bring challenges. If you can imagine, if you've suffered through maltreatment, there are going to be some challenges. So empathy is big, a real sense of caring and compassion and a value around, the quest for equity for all, right? And understanding and believing that every child has a unique identity and that their identity will be valued, right? Whether that is a cultural background, a unique identity characteristic, whether that is gender identity, whatever it is, that the foster parents are coming with an openness and qualities, that are really equity centered and that just, are there to see kids through where they're at. And meet their needs and help them sort of continue on their journey.
Now, not every one of these is a happy story or a happy ending. What kind of support is offered for foster parents if there's sort of a failure to unite the child with their family and then they need to move on to some other form of care? What kind of support there? Because it can be completely devastating.
So I'll take that one, Erin Lee. And then you can add in, okay? So in our team, we're considered like the permanency department, but also foster care recruitment is a huge part of getting the children established in a family setting. If there is a challenge in returning a child to the biological family structure, whether it be a mom, a dad, there is an expectation, and we do a great job in helping to try to connect kin, so relatives of that particular child to reunite to a relative, for instance. That would be the optimal, right? The optimal plan is returning a child home or to a relative. If that can't happen, of course, the next step is what would be the permanency trajectory? So together we examine what does that look like for each child? What does the child want? So a child's voice in fostering and the experiences of fostering is huge. There are many interviews alone with the child that live in a foster home, and there are a lot of interviews with the foster parents alone. Some foster parents say, you know what, we work well with a biological family. Biological family actually say, we would like this foster family to be this child's permanent place because we know that we're not going to be able to have our ducks in a row, so to speak, to get our children back. And so we would like to look at permanent options. So there is, of course, there's adoption, there's permanent options like that. But for the purpose of this particular interview, Bob, it really is about fostering is the first step. If a child and a family need us, we want to be there for the family. We're not entertaining adoption at that juncture, right? But at the end of the day, the child needs to be raised somewhere. The child needs to know that there is a home.
Yes, and what I was getting at was the fact that there is support,
Oh, yes.
mental health support for those fosters, so people who may be wondering about, down the road as they take into consideration sort of all avenues and all different ways that this could play out. Erin Lee, you were nodding your head quite a bit.
Yes, I think I definitely think foster families need supports, and the supports that they need really is family dependent. Some families want, respite workers right in their home to support children, and we have offered that at times. I mean, our resources are limited. We are a deficit agency. So I don't want to sort of make it seem like we've got resources, to the sky, but we certainly look at the family needs and we have put those kinds of supports in place, particularly if children are struggling in school and they need, assistance to pick up a child or spend some time with children, for a few hours each afternoon while foster parents are working. We've done that, those kinds of things. One of the things that we have heard from our Foster Family Association is a bit of struggle with waiting or not getting timely or intensive enough support sometimes through the children's mental health systems. Our partners do the best they can, but everyone is resource strapped, quite frankly. So we've actually embarked on a pilot project with Children's Mental Health of Leeds and Grenville, and hopefully are in the process of trying to hire up and do the same pilot with Open Doors on the Lanark end. But it's actually about partnering with them to have a therapist that is specific to to supporting and sustaining family-based care. So we've got a number of kids right now who are seeing who both the child and the foster family are working with the therapist to get those mental health supports right away, with the goal of stabilizing the placement and preventing sort of placement changes or placement bounces from one home to the other, or ultimately sometimes sadly into group care. We're really trying to focus on that because we've heard from our foster families, the mental health support, the psychoeducational supports, even just really tooling them up to be there for, the variety of needs that our children come with, you know, the strengths and the needs, and so we are doing that, and hope to see that successful pilot, and then hope to see perhaps the ministry, you know, be in some kind of position to fund that in an ongoing way.
Okay, so we're just a little past time here. So one more question for each of you. Karen Lee, what would you like to leave our listeners with? And is there anything that we didn't touch on that you really wanted to make sure that we did?
Well, I want everyone to know that we need our community. Our children need you. Our logo is Together for Our Kids. And I would like to ensure that everyone understands that we provide support, training, informal conversations before someone takes the plunge. We can certainly do that. We will be at the Kempville Fairground. It's not Kempville, sorry. We'll be at the Spencerville Fairground. And we are hoping to see a lot of people out there just to have informal conversations. And we also provide some information nights and sessions, which will be likely being presented over the next few months for people who would like to have some information that's beyond this.
Excellent. And Aaron Lee, I'll ask you the same thing. What would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, I often say to my community partners, child protection is everyone's business. And I would say that to the community as a whole. Child protection is everyone's business. And you may not know it, families out there, but you could really provide that support in a really tangible way. Sometimes there are myths about children in care and children in foster care or children who come from families, you know, where maltreatment has existed, you know, and kind of a negative outlook perhaps on their outcomes. But I would say we have many stories of resilience. Foster children are children at the end of the day. They're children and youth, and they can do wonderful things. But fo and foster parents can be a really important part of their journey to success.
Aaron Lee Marcotte, the Executive Director of Family and Children's Services of Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you very much for having us today, Bob.
And Karen Lee Martineau, who is a recruitment and assessment worker also with Family and Children's Services of Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Bob.